And I've resisted the temptation at that moment to always say, well, if it's okay, I'd really like to commit to pray for you about that.
Oh, right.
Now, there are moments where I have said that, where somebody has shared something at a level of disclosure or honesty or vulnerability.
Right.
Where the right thing to say is, gosh, thanks for sharing that. I just want you to know that I'll be praying about that for you. Mm. But generally speaking, the Lord can work in somebody's life, whether that person knows I'm praying for them or not.
Right.
And I think that's a key part of this, is just being open to hearing someone's life story in a way that gives us insight as to how to pray. I believe when I'm praying for somebody, I've become much more sensitive to the opportunity to express God's love in a tangible way.
We read in Matthew 24, Jesus' words, that this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. But Jesus needs you as a Christian to become equipped for this work. Welcome to the Catalytic Podcast, a ministry resource of 1-8 Catalysts. This podcast exists to give you practical and easy-to-remember tools toward spiritual growth that leads to Great Commission fulfillment. We'll also have interesting interviews of people who have walked the journey towards Great Commission fulfillment, and we'll be able to hear their stories. And now it's time for the Catalytic Podcast. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us for this, the 17th episode of the Catalytic Podcast. Again, my name is Mike Falkenstein. I am the president and founder at 1-8 Catalyst. Again, as you'll hear several times, you can learn more about what we do at 1-8catalyst.org. And we're so excited about the opportunity to create resources and deliver training that enables Christians to reach their world for Christ. So excited that you're here with us. And if you've noticed, if you're a regular listener, you've noticed that we had a two-week break from the podcast. And the reason for that mainly is that my wife, Sherry, her father passed away in early July. And so then through sort of mid-July, there was sort of all of the getting everyone to Central Georgia. We had the service. We stayed then a while longer. So as a family, we just kind of needed a break. And certainly for me, I just needed to turn my attention to my wife and her family and, you know, do my best there. So, but I am now excited to be back with you for this, the latest episode. And, you know, as I've been thinking and praying about the podcast, the Lord has just brought me back to episode number one. And so if you've not listened to episode number one, I'd encourage you to do it, because it's sort of a, what is the purpose of the Catalytic Podcast episode? And in that episode, I mentioned that the podcast, particularly of all the resources that we do, the podcast exists to break down in the simplest terms how Great Commission fulfillment is done and how it's achieved. And, you know, I think before we get into any more, here's what's happening overseas, or I know many of you are not even thinking about doing anything overseas. And so I think for the vast majority of the listeners and the vast majority of the people that we'd love to impact with our ministry, kind of job number one is just become good at reaching your neighbors. And, you know, it's really, really interesting. More and more, as I talk to missions leaders, so mission organization leaders, it's just been super interesting, because more and more in their candidate process, so if you feel like you've been called to go to Kenya or go to Pakistan or go to Brazil or, you know, anywhere around the world, more and more of these missionary sending agencies are asking, what is it that you're doing in your local area to impact people for Christ? The idea being, there's nothing that's going to make, you know, any big difference or you any more effective if you get on a plane and go to Pakistan. In fact, I know from my extensive research that if you go to another country as a missionary, you're now on the outside of that culture, right? You're the outsider. And so it's going to be some time. And you've got language differences, you've got culture differences. You're not in the inner circle of kind of movers and shakers, people that, you know, other people want to listen to necessarily. And so it's only going to be harder to do that there. And so be good at reaching your neighbors for Christ here. And I know we've had a couple of episodes on that. We had the interview with one of the authors of one of my favorite books, The Art of Neighboring. And so today I'm going to replay clips from an interview I did a number of years ago with a good friend of mine. Dudley Callison. At the time of the interview, he was directing a ministry called Christian Associates. They've since changed their name to Communitas International, and he actually doesn't work with them anymore. So a couple of years ago, he went on staff with a Christian camp in Texas called T-Bar M Camps. And so you can look up their information online if you want to learn more about what they do. And but boy, the reason I'm replaying these clips is that as it relates to breaking down in simplest terms how Great Commission fulfillment is achieved, Dudley's a great example. And so I've got 7 clips that I'm going to play, and then I'll make some kind of comments kind of around those clips and kind of help you to be able to create content in this podcast that's going to help you best find Great Commission fulfillment right where you live. All right. So in this first clip, Dudley is just going to introduce himself and sort of his wife and kind of what they do. And so let's have Dudley introduce himself, and then we'll move on to the other clips.
Well, thanks for having me here today, Mike. It's always a privilege to talk about Christ's kingdom work in the world, about missions and missionality and what it means for just the average follower of Christ to participate in the Great Commission in a very practical way. And so, yeah, it's a joy to be a part of this in your listening audience. My name is Dudley. My wife and I, Laura, have been married for 22 years now, 2 girls. And the Lord's had us on this wonderful journey of faith and learning and growing in our understanding of church and how to be a part of that in a local and a global sense.
For those of you who are regular listeners of the podcast, you know that in episode number 9, I interviewed the author of a book called The Art of Neighboring. The guy that I interviewed was Dave Runyon. And of those books that are available in helping you with this kind of thing, I just can't think of a better resource than The Art of Neighboring. In fact, over the years in our ministry, we've bought large volumes of that book to hand to people, to give away as we're speaking at a church. We've got a little table in the back, you know, kind of a thing. So it is a wonderful resource as it relates to that. And so I would just highly recommend it. And if you're just coming into the podcast sort of fresh and new, and this is the first episode that you've listened to, number one, welcome to the podcast. But then number two, I would just say, listen to that episode, and I think you'll really enjoy it. So in this next clip, I've asked Dudley to kind of give some ideas. We're talking about evangelism training as it relates to reaching your neighbors. You know, those of you that know me know that I was on staff for a number of years with the Navigators, a Christian missions organization, and they have their particular way of doing evangelism called the Bridge Illustration. And I know Campus Crusade, now called Crew, has their 4 spiritual laws. You've got the Roman Road. You've got, I'd actually just heard about a brand new one I hadn't heard of called the 3 Circles. And so plenty of ways to do that. And so I asked Dudley about the importance of that as it relates to reaching neighbors. And Dudley just gives us some really practical advice as it relates to what that really looks like when you're beginning to just sort of pray about and think about reaching neighbors for Christ.
Well, I think there are some distinctive flavors to it. I certainly have nothing negative to say about evangelism training or even some of the evangelism approaches that kind of help equip the believer to put their faith into words. I think that's some of the strongest value of going through evangelism training. Where it falls apart, really, in real time with a neighbor is when the neighbor feels like you're walking them through a formula or a program or, you know, reading from a script. And, you know, you can actually visibly see people start to back up a little bit when they feel like you're kind of walking them through something that you've memorized for the sake of evangelism. I think a lot of what we're trying to promote in the world and to live out in our neighborhood is really just what comes down to loving people with the love of Christ, you know, with the mature, sacrificial, caring type love that I think Christ inspires us to embrace and then to offer to others. As we've been loved by him, we freely love those around us. As we've been forgiven and graced by him, then we, with maturity, offer those to the people around us. So when you bring it down to some real basic spiritual friendship practices. I don't think it's quite so complicated, to be honest with you.
That's right.
Most of us live in a place, but we do life elsewhere. We may live in a neighborhood on a street with a bunch of other houses, but we get in our cars in the morning and we drive to the office or we drive to the gym or to the coffee right. shop. And really our third places exclude a lot of our most natural and closest people around us.
And
neighbors
right.
are tricky relationships anyway, because if they got a dog that barks and drives you crazy, or they park right. their car where you don't want them to park, or they throw a bunch of parties. I mean, neighbors, you don't choose them. And so they can actually become a bit, I don't know, adversarial at times, or, you know, contentious. And really, I think when Jesus said the second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself, I don't think that excludes people that we work with or that we see at the
right
at the health club or whatever. But I think it at least means love the people that live right around you.
That's right.
I mean, it might mean other people as well, but let's at least
that's right.
allow it to mean the people that right. live right around us.
So and if I know it means anything, it means that.
It at least right. means that. And that really challenged right. me. You know, I can honestly say that 10 years ago, I couldn't name you the people that lived around me. I was on staff at a church, and a neighbor across the street and a couple houses down, elderly couple, and the old gentleman died. And we'd never met him, you know, and I was serving on staff at a local church. So I thought, well, you know, I should try to find a way to be helpful to the older lady who's lost her husband.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw her out a couple of weeks later trying to start her lawnmower. And I thought, oh, this is a great opportunity. So I walked across the street and, you know, went down to help her start her lawnmower and introduced myself to her. And she said, oh, yeah, I know who you are. You're on staff at our church. I mean, here, I've been living
wow.
across the street and two houses down.
Wow.
And, you know, that kind of hard reality, a wake-up call of, these aren't just my neighbors. They're people that say they're part of the same faith community that I'm a part of.
Wow.
You know, so that really began to convict me about, what does it mean to not just know them, but to know their story? And not just know their story, but to be able to enter into it in a spiritual way. And so that just began to challenge my thinking about, have I met my neighbors? Do I know them by name? Do I know anything about their story? Has their story revealed to me any way to pray for them? Because when I get to the point of praying for them by name and by story, I have entered their spiritual journey, whether they realize it or not.
Oh,
and,
that's right.
I think that's a big part of this whole
simple
it is. Missionality.
It is. Two thoughts as I hear this clip again from Dudley. Of course, one is an old phrase that I've used for years about ministry, which is people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, right? And so obviously being a good neighbor is important because they're not going to listen to what we might want to say, ultimately, which is, you know, we do want to, you know, introduce them to Jesus and introduce them to, you know, maybe a Bible study or something. But people are not going to care about that unless they know how much you care. And then number two, of course, is what Dudley mentioned about praying for neighbors even before they know that you're praying for them. And maybe not even asking them initially, you know, how can I be praying for you about that? Right, which to the non-Christian might just come across in the wrong way. And so love Dudley's thoughts there. And so in the conversation, Dudley and I then move on to, all right, we're going to take the first steps to, you know, reach out to neighbors. In his experience, what has been the best way to be able to do that?
Well, yeah,
and
I think if you mean going and knocking on their door and introducing yourself to them, I think that's where it takes a lot more boldness and courage than just to recognize the opportunities. So, you know, living here in Colorado, we're going to get 3 or 4 decent dumps of snow every year. And
that's
the
right.
kind of snow that requires you to get out and shovel the driveway and the sidewalk. And I know that I met several of my neighbors just by seeing them down working on their driveway and wandering down and introducing myself and just jumping in to help them out.
All right. So as you're all already out and about.
Absolutely.
Then you just sort of go over and say hi. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think the mailbox is a truly divine space to be able to meet a neighbor and say hello. You know, living life outdoors is one of the benefits we have here in this particular part of the country. But I don't think anyone lives in a climate where it's impossible to be outside and to, you know, go for walks. The real trick in that, Mike, is just being available. So I'm going out for a walk. Is my goal to do an hour of cardio, you know, exercise right. that can't be interrupted?
Oh, right.
Or am I just going to go for a stroll around the neighborhood and actually look for the chance to stop, comment on, you know, their garden in the front, comment on their flowers coming out.
Oh, right.
Ask them about the motorcycle that they obviously just bought. And let that be an opportunity to extend a hand and meet a person by name. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, after I meet somebody and hear their name for the first time, if I don't do something to remember it,
oh, right.
and I see them a month later, I'm not going to remember their name. So
right.
we've gone so far as to just, you know, when we meet a new neighbor in the neighborhood, to just jot their name down and maybe make a reminder note. You know, the neighbor that plays street hockey in their driveway
oh,
with
right.
their boys.
Or in the brown house.
I haven't seen him, you know, in...
His name,
you know,
whatever.
In 6 weeks now, but you know, I'm more likely to remember his name because I just wrote it down and reminded myself this is who he is. So
that's great.
Yeah, seizing those opportunities and being available and accessible is probably the first just principle of meeting
great.
Our friends around.
At 1-8 Catalyst, we have a deep heart to create resources to help you find great commission fulfillment. Our latest book resource is titled "What You Do Shows Who You Are." A book on the six marks of a disciple of Jesus. We believe that this book is a great way for you to grow spiritually and then take that growth and share it with others. Intended to be a small group or Sunday school class study, we believe that spiritual growth happens best as you work through each of the six marks with a group of other believers. Be sure to get a copy for each of the folks in your small group today. Available on Amazon.com.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, as we get to the second half of this episode, Dudley and I's conversation gets to a very interesting place, which is the place of what if we were able to look at our neighborhood as a mission field, and you know, what would that look like? And the conversation around that was something that I just found very, very interesting and very useful.
You know, I'm struck by the fact that when we organize overseas mission trips, that we do a lot of training with folks before we go overseas to impact the kingdom of God in another place. And part of the training that I've been a part of with preparing short-term mission trips is doing prayer walking. All right. Well, that's really great if we get on a plane and go 2,000 miles away to prayer walk in a neighborhood in another country. How often have I done that in my neighborhood?
Oh, right.
Just walking around and seeing evidences of need or opportunity or spirituality in the neighborhood and lifting those up before the Lord.
Mm.
Asking the Lord, would you lead me into a conversation? I'm actually going out for a walk to say, Lord, I'm available to you and I'm available to someone else.
Mm.
Give the opportunity and see what God does.
So maybe your neighborhood in that point becomes a little bit of your... I don't want to say missions field, but
absolutely
it, you know.
It is. Say it. It's
yeah.
your mission field. I mean, it's where God's planted you. Therefore, how do we engage spiritually in the context right where we live? Mm.
You know, in our ministry here at 1-8 Catalyst, we have 3 t-shirts that we've done over the years. And so if you ever see me at a table at a church or missions conference, I'm going to display those. So we have what we're calling the Great Commission series of t-shirts. And one of the designs that I still want to do, that is kind of the fourth choice, is you see a guy walking a dog and it says, be missional today, walk your dog. And as to Dudley's point about just being accessible to neighbors, as he mentioned, here in Colorado, like we love being outside. It's very dry air. It's wonderful to be outside. And so for us, my wife and I, we've just intentionally tried to be outside as much as we can. So I'm walking the dog, but as I'm walking the dog, I'm actually praying for opportunities to, you know, meet neighbors and introduce myself. And, you know, we sit on our front porch as much as we can, saying hello to people. We'll see someone outside in their yard and just come and say hello. And so that really is the first step. Dudley then in this next clip kind of gives us an idea of this idea of prayer walking your neighborhood. And, you know, if the ultimate goal is to have people come to know Christ and then to become disciples of Jesus themselves, that is completely a work of the Lord that Yes, you want to make yourself available, but really, at the end of the day, we need God's intervention and God's work in, you know, these people's lives. And so I love the way that he puts this. And boy, sure appreciate the heart behind his ideas around this.
Stepped into an important part of this journey of faith with them.
And, yes. You know,
the simple questions of getting to know somebody new. I don't think there's anything different meeting a neighbor on a street than meeting a new coworker at the Christmas party. When you meet him, you ask the same kind of simple questions of curiosity. Have you lived here a long time? Did you grow up here? Wow, you guys from here originally, or are you transplants like us?
Right.
And hearing those answers naturally leads to some discovery about their story. I met a neighbor and asked that simple question of, hey, you guys from here? He said, no, I lost a job at another place, and we got a new job and had to move here. And what did that tell me? That tell me that he's been through the trauma of losing a job.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Without going, you know, three layers deep in that conversation, I made a mental note next time I see him to say, you know, tell me about your work.
All right. How's the new job going?
Yeah. And is it the same as what you did before?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or did you change, you know, occupations and career fields? And you know, just the simple questions of, hey, it's like you guys got a couple of elementary school kids here in the neighborhood. How are you liking the school? I mean, we found it to be really great for our kids. Is it working out for you guys?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just the simple things that are questions that come out of observations that lead to insights. You learn about divorces. You learn about relocations. You learn about people's just extended family if they moved here from across town because they're too close to mom and dad. And
oh, right.
You know, so, I mean, there's all kinds of things that become insightful ways to pray for people. And I've resisted the temptation at that moment to always say, well, if it's okay, I'd really like to commit to pray for you about that.
Oh, right.
Now, there are moments where I have said that, where somebody has shared something at a level of disclosure or honesty or vulnerability.
Right.
Where the right thing to say is, gosh, thanks for sharing that. I just want you to know that I'll be praying about that for you.
Mm.
But generally speaking, the Lord can work in somebody's life, whether that person knows I'm praying for them or not.
Right.
And I think that's a key part of this, is just being open to hearing someone's life story in a way that gives us insight as to how to pray. I believe when I'm praying for somebody, I've become much more sensitive to the opportunity to express God's love in a tangible way, which is why I think it's really important to couple that hearing story, praying for them, and looking for a way to meaningfully engage them. Now, I've always kind of thought of that as my opportunity to serve them. But I can tell you this, relationships have deepened more quickly when I have a need and I go to a neighbor to ask them for help. I needed help putting Christmas boxes up in our overhead shelving in our garage just a couple of weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And a guy was at the bus stop that I really don't spend a lot of time with because he lives down the street. But he was there when I asked a buddy of mine, hey, can you help me put my boxes up in this overhead shelving in my garage? Well, this other guy said, hey, I'll come help out too. Turns out he was the rock star. He actually did most of the work.
Oh.
And it gave me an opportunity to interact with him in a way that was truly meaningful. But it wasn't me that had the resources to help him out. It was me being in a posture of need. I put that in the same category of John chapter 4 when Jesus shows up at the well and the woman is there.
Right.
He doesn't start that conversation saying, I have something that you need.
Mm-hmm.
He starts it off with a question. Would you give me a drink of water? This is Jesus putting himself in a position of need and saying, you've got something that I need.
Oh, right.
Would you help me, knowing that he had what she ultimately needed most?
Wow. That's great.
So I think sometimes, you know, building that kind of further interaction with neighbors is having a way to help them, but also saying, when I have a need, could I ask them to be a part of that with me?
You know, I think one of the toughest things for most of us in relation to reaching our neighbors for Christ, quite frankly, is going from that surfacey sort of, you know, level to something much deeper, right? And because our concern, of course, is, oh, they're not going to like me anymore, or they're not going to want to hang out with me, or when they see me, they're going to avoid me. And so obviously, on one hand, we have to at some point, you know, we have to bridge that gap, right? We have to kind of go over that bridge, so to speak. But I do think, and Dudley does a great job here of sort of talking about, you know, what exactly it looks like to build that bridge. You know, over the years, I've heard this phrase that I've kind of adopted as my own, which is that in these kinds of relationships, and this could relate to people in our neighborhood, people at our work, people that, you know, maybe even a cousin that we don't see very often, or someone that we really feel led to reach for Christ, is that we're building a bridge of friendship strong enough for the weight of the gospel. You know, because once you've helped a neighbor a number of times, you've had them for dinner, you know their wife, you know their husband, you've hung out with their kids, maybe you volunteered to watch their kids while the husband had to take the wife for a surgical procedure. You know, you've done a lot of these things, and this friendship then sort of is strong enough to carry the weight of the gospel. And so Dudley has some further thoughts about this that I just really like. And so pay attention, because, you know, we're kind of turning the corner towards the end of this episode, and some really good stuff here from Dudley.
Yeah, I think in this sense, Matthew 12:34 applies, which is this simple heart-mouth principle that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm pursuing Christ and we're pursuing Christ as a family, that's so much in our heart that it, you really can't escape it in our story. Ask me about our weekend, and I'll tell you what we did over the weekend, and there'll be something about our faith that comes out in that. Ask me about my job. Ask me about our history, about right. our upbringing, about anything about that.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be an opportunity for me to naturally talk about what it means to be a person of faith. And without having to be contrived or manipulative, you know, it's not like I have to talk about how beautiful the day is and then, you know, kind of craft, you know, how wonderful it is that God made this beautiful day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't have to be contrived in it in any way. It's really kind of one of those just answering a question honestly and integrating the value of my walk with Christ into however I give my answer. My neighbors are not surprised in a fifth conversation that I'm a follower of Christ. That's probably already come out pretty easily.
Right.
I will tell you this. There are a few of my neighbors that have never yet asked a question.
Oh, really?
So I'm still asking about them.
Okay.
And you know, I don't know that they ever will. But I think the more important thing is to be in a posture of readiness.
That's right.
When the time comes to be, when they say,
yeah, that's right.
Well, how was your weekend? Well, yeah, thanks for asking. And in the course of talking about my weekend, I'm going to probably say something that is about the mountains or about the beauty or about the youth soccer games that we went to. But I'm also going to talk about, you know, going to our church service and being a part of a meaningful time of worship there. And, yeah, it really touched my heart. If they want to know more about it at that point, they're going to ask.
Yeah,
if
that's right.
Maybe they'll ask the next time.
That's right.
So
that's right.
I think having a one-off conversation view of evangelism is where people maybe feel most manipulated. Taking the long-haul view over the long haul of living in a neighborhood, thinking that you're going to interact with them multiple times, really takes a lot of the pressure off to feel like you've got to lead them to faith in Christ quickly, you know,
right.
Between now and the next
time. If you're not planning to move, you're going to be there.
You're going to be there.
They're going to be there. So,
well, yeah, and hopefully the Lord provides many opportunities to interact. I'll tell you this, some of my non-Christian friends and the friends that I have on my street that don't go to church anymore, I've learned more about my own faith in Christ. I've learned a lot about my own fears and anxieties from listening to their stories. I mean, I really want to make that as a central point, that it's not just about what we have to offer to them, but being in a mutual learning posture.
Oh, right.
You know, and hearing in them, hearing evidence of courage, hearing evidence of faith, hearing evidence of endurance is really extraordinary to find in people that are trying to make their way without Jesus at the center.
Mm.
And so, boy, I tell you, I've loved hearing their stories, because it's given me a lot of insight and learning in my own walk with Christ.
That's really great. As we end this episode of the Catalytic Podcast, just as I did with Dave Runyon, author of The Art of Neighboring, when I interviewed him, I pressed Dudley just a little bit about, you know, actually getting down to spiritual conversations. And, you know, isn't that our responsibility to finally get a chance to share Christ? And yeah, I just loved his answer here. And again, pay attention to this, because, you know, what he talks about actually is actually kind of threw me for a little bit of a loop, actually, which doesn't happen very often, actually. But he says here, and you'll hear him say, well, how much do you trust God in the lives of your neighbors? And then number two, do you really think that it's all up to you? And I do think, as I've, you know, thought and prayed about this over the years, that we really need to just look at ourselves as one cog in a larger plan that God has for these people. And maybe it could be that, in fact, I've seen this in ministry, that I'm the one who shares the bridge illustration with the college student. A couple months later, they run across a youth pastor who does the same. He's the one actually that invites them to a camp, and then they accept Christ two or three people down the line in terms of Christians that they've met from me. And boy, I just love that idea. And it certainly takes some pressure off of us, right? That if we look at ourselves as just a tool that God can use in a person's life, we are not responsible for them to come to know Christ. That is a work of the Holy Spirit, convicting their hearts. And so listen to this, and then I'll come back with some final thoughts on this episode of the Catalytic Podcast.
How much do you trust the Lord? Do you trust the Lord with your neighbor's spiritual journey? Or do you feel like that somehow it's all been put on your shoulders? What you don't know, what I don't know, are the other spiritual influences and the voices in the life of my neighbor.
Oh, in their lives.
Absolutely. If I think it's all on me, that I'm the only way that they're going to hear about Jesus, boy, I'm going to carry a weight of pressure that might drive me across the street with a tract in my hand to say,
all right, hey, you've got to hear this.
We got to get down to this. Yeah, now, right. You know, if the Lord prompts me to do that, I hope I'd be responsive and say yes to that. But what I found in getting to know people's journey of faith and even hearing testimonies of followers of Jesus, most of the time it wasn't a one-off conversation with a particular one individual follower of Jesus. It was multiple touches, multiple influences, multiple examples of what it looks like to be a follower of Christ, where I've had the opportunity to be the one to present the pathway to salvation. Praise God for that. I think most of the time, though, I'm a bit player.
Oh, just a...
I'm a supporting actor in their
story. A cog in a bigger...
I am.
Yeah.
And am I okay with that? Am I okay with being the influence that they saw in someone that lived on their street, an example of servant leadership, or of love without conditions, or of helpfulness, or of a genuine offer of friendship, a listening ear? With a couple of our neighbors, it's actually been some kind of a catalytic event in their life that has led them to a place of inquiry about faith.
Mm.
Am I patient enough? Do I trust the Lord enough to let the friendship, the layers of friendship build, like a layer over a bridge, one touch at a time, one conversation at a time, such that when they're motivated, when they're prompted by the Holy Spirit to seek spiritual truth, and they're looking for the right person to talk with about this catalytic thing that's happened in their story, will they walk across that bridge? Is the bridge strong enough for them to feel like,
right,
that's the person I want to go talk to? Mm. That's the person I want to ask. When I'm struggling as a parent, I want to go talk to him about what it means to be a dad in this sense. When they're struggling in their marriage, they feel permission to walk across that bridge and say, tell me about how this works in your marriage.
Mm. That's awesome.
I think that's the availability, the readiness of the gospel, the availability, and the faith to be patient, to allow this journey to play out as they are pursued by Christ over time.
Mm.
And I'm saying, Lord, I'm ready. I'm available. When you bring about the right time and the place for this conversation to happen.
That's great. Now, of course, that brings out the what we hopefully hear a lot, which is none of ministry is about us, right? Mm-hmm. It's about God and what he wants to do and
exactly
when right. he wants to do it. And yeah.
Are you okay if you're the one who built a 5-year relationship with a neighbor and then you find out that they, you know, went to a random church service on a
all
Christmas
right.
Eve and came to know Jesus at the church service through a pastor given an invitation after the sermon? Am I really going to be offended by that? or am I going to celebrate?
Oh,
that?
You're going to be overjoyed, hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
You know, I don't feel like it's our place to feel the overwhelming pressure that pushes us into evangelism conversation. Sometimes that actually can set somebody back on their journey to know Christ if they feel like they've met somebody that is just pushing a conversion conversation.
Oh, right.
As opposed to saying, gosh, let's pray for them. Let's listen to them well. Let's serve them in practical ways with the love of Christ. And let's be ready when they ask and are open to hear a message about faith. Certainly, I think for people that want to explore this further within the last couple of years,
yes,
The Art of Neighboring by Dave Runyon may be one of the best resources to pick
Great.
Up and just take a look at. You know, what does this mean? Dave is the first to say that he didn't coin the idea of loving our neighbors well. That's a biblical concept, and there's lots of examples of people doing this in their communities and with their neighbors successfully and gracefully. But if somebody's looking for a very practical, tactile resource on how do you take this further, that might be a resource for
them. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you found that conversation as useful to you as it was to me. And here's the challenge, quickly, that I'd like to give to you all. If you do nothing else over the next year as it relates to Great Commission fulfillment, doing something that you think that God wants you to do, at least begin taking these principles to heart to reach your neighbors for Christ. Because I'll guarantee you that if you do that, A, you're going to see God at work. B, it'll actually be a blessing to you. And C, you're actually going to know your neighbors way better. And you might actually see some of them come to know the Lord. And so that's my challenge. Just dig in on this. Listen to this episode again if you have to. Take notes. And that's my challenge. I'd love to see a number of folks that are listeners of this podcast to be able to do that. So thank you so much for joining us. If you have show ideas or suggestions or comments, questions, concerns, please reach out to us at 303-335-9658. Thank you so much for joining us, and I'll look forward to having you with me on the 18th episode of the Catalytic Podcast. Thank you for joining me for the latest episode of the Catalytic Podcast. For more information, be sure to visit our website at 18catalyst.org. And never forget, the Great Commission is a command that Jesus gave you as a Christian to obey. I'll be praying for you that you find your part in it. See you next time.